It's good to be back with you once again. And this morning we're celebrating what we call Palm Sunday. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses. All four Gospels give the account of the triumphal entry of Jesus riding on a donkey. And so this morning, let's look at that day from the unique perspective of the donkey. This is yet another fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, a very specific one. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And so let's set the scene. First of all, we see the Savior in this story. Jesus' first entry will lead to so much, including his soon-to-come re-entry. His first entry, we see him riding on a colt. His re-entry, he'll be riding a great white horse. His first entry, he came alone. Saints and angels will be with him when he makes his re-entry. His first entry, he wore a crown of thorns. When he comes back, he will wear a crown of crowns. When he first came, he was called King of the Jews. When he comes back, he will be King of Kings. On his first entry, he had no money. When he comes back, he will own everything. His first entry, he was mocked and he was jeered. On his second entry, they will fear and tremble. His first entry, he came as a man. When he comes back, he will come as God. In his first entry, he was meek and lowly. When he comes back, he will come in power and glory. In his first entry, he had nails in his hands. His re-entry, he will have a rod of iron. On his first entry, he was hung on a cross. When he comes back, he will sit on a throne. On his first entry, he was judged in Pilate's hall. When he comes back, he will be the judge. On his first entry, he came as the lamb. When he comes back, he will be the lion. And so we see the servants in this story. We see the disciples. They fetched the donkey and the colt and proudly escorted the King of Kings this day. But they would later forsake him and they would flee. We see the crowd. There were many believers that would have been present, but many would prove to be fair-weather friends by the end of the week. The Bible indicates that there were people who were secret disciples or who followed at a distance the Lord. Many today are genuinely saved, but they follow in the same manner, especially when the atmosphere is not favorable. And then we see the sinners in this story. We see the donkey, the colt, which he actually rode on. And it's unclear if the donkey carried some things for him or just went along to make it a family affair. But the young donkey represents all of us lowly sinners. And then we see some lessons from the donkey. First of all, we find that Jesus had a plan for that donkey. In our lives, Jesus has a plan for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. His plan for us is that we enter into a relationship of grace with God the Father. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you, that's me, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." The second thing we need to realize is that the donkey was chosen to fulfill the plan. God's word tells us that we too have been chosen to fulfill God's plan. John 15:16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you." And we are chosen that we might be used for his purposes. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship. Look at verse 7 of chapter 21. And it says, "And brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes and set him thereon." Verse 7 tells us that the donkey had clothes. They put clothes on the donkey. Garments were placed upon the donkey that Jesus might take his place upon the donkey. When we come to Christ, we will receive new garments of life. The Bible tells us that we are clothed in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized under Christ have put on Christ." And then we see that the donkey went where he was led. It was unbroken. And Jesus has this effect on all his creation. In the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, with wild beasts, sent ravens to feed a prophet, a rooster crowed three times. And just as God allowed a donkey to speak in the Old Testament, he made an unlikely situation work out, that people would just give their property away to someone they don't know for no good reason. And as Matthew says, further, Mark's gospel says this donkey had never been ridden before. Does this tell you anything about who you know about animals? Several years ago, I had an opportunity to ride a horse, and I was very excited. Well, as soon as I got on, the horse started going round and round in circles, and I was trying to hang on, but slipped and was falling off the side and screaming with a crowd of onlookers. I panicked and didn't know what to do. But just at the right time, the manager of the Kmart came out and unplugged it. But seriously, the donkey in our text is not tame. And I can tell you, you'd have to have dominion over the animals as their creator for this to work. Psalm chapter 8, verses 6 to 8 says, "Thou madest him, man, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." If you have dominion over nature, you will be able to walk on water, calm a storm, or heal with a touch. You'll be able to send a fish with a coin in its mouth to pay taxes. To be a part of the plan, the donkey had to go where he was led. God does not always give us the route or even the destination. We must show our love by following obediently. Down through the years, I've learned to do that, to be obedient to where God wanted me to go. Genesis 22:2 says, And he says, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. To me this morning, the greatest point is that the donkey's position made Jesus visible. The donkey's position of service made Jesus visible to the crowd. When we humble ourselves, Christ becomes more visible to others. I can remember years ago when I was pastoring a church up in New York State, and I had to work as a bivocational pastor at that time. And I worked for an insurance company. And there was a lot of folks there that when they found out I was a preacher, they made fun of me. And had a lot of crazy jokes that they'd make. But after a while, when they began to have problems, they came to me and I was able to witness and help a lot of them. And so when we make ourselves and place ourselves where God wants us, he can use us. Jesus did not choose the proud, prancing mare. Jesus did not, there's nothing about the donkey that was taken away from Jesus. Because Jesus was visible, a crowd was drawn. Jesus told us that when he is lifted up, when he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. It's not my kingdom to build. It's Jesus' kingdom. It's not me that should be exalted, but Christ. And when we allow Jesus to be visible in our lives, we will see the responses of the people in this account. The crowd questioned, who is that on the donkey? And when we allow Jesus to be glorified in our lives, people will talk and want to know more. When we live our lives in humble service, Jesus will be glorified. To me, one of the greatest truths is realizing that of all the perspectives available, the donkey was the only one that got to see and experience the glory of Christ firsthand. When we are where Christ or where Jesus is, his glory will overshadow and overflow in our lives. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you resemble the donkey? He was tied. Today there are many that are hooked, victims of habits, and they're bound by lifestyles. This donkey was untamed. Never ridden. He was stubborn and rebellious in nature. He was outside. Many today, all around us, are without Christ. They're without God. They're without hope. Ephesians 2:12 tells us that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens and strangers for the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We see that that donkey was at a crossroads. Two ways, two always meet. And it was a place of decision. This morning, each and every one of us are at a place of decision. We have to decide whether we're going to follow Christ or live for this world. We have decisions to make. We see that he was at the door. Jesus is the door. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then we see he was untied. Jesus is the one this morning that can set each and every one of us free. John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We find in our text this morning that he was brought to Jesus. Verse 7 tells us that they brought the colt to Jesus. We find that he did not resist. Jesus set upon him, verse 7 says. He was used for God's glory. And we see that as the donkey proceeded into the crowd shouted out, "Hosanna in the highest," and lifted up Jesus. He was submitted to the will of the Savior. I want to ask you this morning, are you submitted to the will of our Savior? Are you willing to do what He wants you to do? Go where He wants you to go? Do what He wants you to do? You see, we have to be submitted to the will of our Savior. To live as a donkey, you must recognize that God is requesting your presence so that you may be used of Him. How many of you this morning are willing to be used by God? I can remember back when the Lord called me into the ministry over 50 years ago. I had a successful business. I was making good money. And there was just no way that I wanted to give that up. And the Lord just kept dealing with me about going into the ministry. And so I used the business, first of all, as an excuse, and then my wife as a second excuse. But looking back, it's amazing how God works out our plans and works out our lives. But one day I kept using the excuse of the business. And one day a fellow came in and asked me to buy the business. And so I sold the business. And so then I was using my wife as the second excuse. And I walked into that day and I said, "Martha," I said, "I sold the business today." I said, "We're going off to Bible school in the fall." And she looked at me and with tears in her eyes, and she said, "Don, you were the most miserable guy I lived with this past year. I thought you'd never surrender." You see, God orchestrates our lives. And yet we have to be obedient to Him. And during these past 50 years, God has blessed me and my family in so many ways because I was willing to follow Him and do what He wanted me to do. We've had our ups and we've had our downs, but God was always there and took care of us. You see, we have to be willing to go where He wants us to go and do what He wants us to do. We need to daily clothe ourselves in the fullness of Christ. We need to allow the Spirit to lead us and follow obediently. And so this morning, I want to challenge you to humble yourself that others may see Jesus more clearly and serve Christ faithfully that He might be glorified. For He is worthy. Jesus wants to make a triumphant entry this morning into your home. Will you take Him there? Jesus wants to make a triumphant entry into your workplace. Will you take Him there? Jesus wants to make a triumphant entry into this church. He wants to make a triumphant entry into that restaurant where you go, or into your phone conversations, or with loved ones, or with your heart. You see, Jesus wants to make a triumphant entry into each and every one of our lives. As I'm getting older, I'm finding that I need to trust Him more and more each day. And I've never regretted following Jesus. And I'm glad He made that triumphant entry into my life. Are you willing to place Him in your life this morning and trust Him? Father, this morning we thank You for this Palm Sunday, and that once again we're reminded that Jesus wants to enter into each and every one of our lives. And Father, We need to ask ourselves, are we willing to go where you want us to go? Are we willing to surrender all to follow you? And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to make any decisions or to ask you into their life, I pray that this morning will be that day. For it's in your name we ask. Amen.